I know a lot of people say, you can never tell somebody's soul. And that is true. I will not disagree with that. However, we can look at their lives and see if they're producing fruit, see if they're working for the master, and see if their faithfulness to their profession validates the profession that they claim.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
Chapter 25, finishing up a sermon that we started last week and did not get to complete. And I know that that's not the first time I've done that, and most likely not be the last either. And as you turn there, just to remember, a reminder of where we are and where we're going today. We've been studying the parables of Jesus. And remember, the point of the parables is not to tell a good story, though they are. The point of the parables is to teach a spiritual truth. That is why the parables usually end with the refrain from the lips of Jesus saying, "For those who have ears, let him hear." He's teaching us a truth, not just entertaining us through a story. He wants people to hear and respond. So last week we started and combined one of his parables, actually several parables, with the question that we often ask. And the question is, when are you coming back? Right? We want to know the answer to when Jesus is coming back. And we saw last week that there's not a Bible verse that says, hey, Jesus is coming back on this date at this time so that we can be prepared. In fact, we saw that he's going to come back in this really... you take all the adjectives together and it's really hard to... You see the confusion. He's coming back unexpected, but earlier than expected, while later than expected. And so you try to put all that together and it's just hard to comprehend. But in the parables we were looking at, he leaves instructions on what we are supposed to do as we wait for his unexpected return. And last week, we saw the first thing he told us was to be prepared. In the parable of the bridesmaids, he reminds us to prepare to endure to the end. So if he comes later than we expect, we are still ready. And that was what we saw last week. Well, today, we're going to look at the parable of the talents that begins down in Matthew 25, verse 14. So let's read that this morning down to verse 30 and then look at what is the third point from last week's sermon. Jesus speaking, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest,' or 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning, as we read that parable, what we discover is that Jesus tells us to be diligent while we wait. Jesus tells us to be diligent while we wait. And you see the progression in the parables. We've actually covered 5 parables, if you've been counting, in answering this question. And the progression went from, you can't know the time, have your soul prepared, to now, while you're waiting, and you should be focused on working, not on when I'm going to return. Be diligent in your work. And from that point this morning, I just want to break it down into 3 subpoints, if you will. And the first one is this. As we read this, you need to understand that Jesus entrusts you with talents. Jesus entrusts you with talents. The scenario that Jesus sets up is not an uncommon to the time. A master is about to leave his estate. Perhaps he is going to another country or another area to conduct business. While he is away, his estate will still need to function. And also, he wants his estate in functioning to continue to profit, continue to earn money. He tells us to be diligent while we wait, or to work diligently while we wait. And the first subpoint was where we were, and that is Jesus entrusts us with talents. And we were discussing that the scenario is the master has left his estate, going maybe to conduct more business, and left his servants in charge. And while he is gone, he wants his servants to continue to work for the estate, to continue to make the estate prosper. And so he calls his servants to him and distributes talents to them, and each servant receives a different amount. Now, in that little part of the story, several issues attract our attention. The first one being, what exactly is a talent? Now, you need to understand in the New Testament, a talent was not a monetary denomination like a $20 bill. A talent was actually a unit of weight, which would have a monetary value ascribed to it, depending on, and the value would depend on what it was a weight of, whether it was a weight of silver, a talent of silver, a talent of gold, a talent of bronze. I think the best way to think of it would be like a bushel, right? You know how big a bushel is, but a bushel of peaches weighs more than a bushel of corn, but you still have a bushel. So that's the same thing with the talent, and it's a unit of weight. And though the parable does not tell us which particular unit of weight it is, gold, copper, or silver, the parable does direct us several times to the generosity and the grandness of the master. So it would not be hard then to think, okay, we're talking about talents of gold, because that's the whole point of the parable, to show us the generosity, the grandness of the master and how he entrusts his servants. When we read this and understand then, he gives away a total of 8 talents, right? 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, a total of 8 talents. Well, 1 talent would be the equivalent to a lifetime of wages. So the master then is giving away 8 lifetimes of wages to his servants. That's a lot of money. That's entrusting them a great deal to use while he is gone. But then we also notice that the master is the one that gives them the talents, right? The servants are not bringing their talents to the master. Instead, the master is the one who has given it to them, and the servants are on the receiving end of the generosity. Then they are entrusted with the talents that do not belong to them. It's not theirs. But then notice, they're not all given the same amounts. The master gives, it says here, according to his ability. So the master somehow understands the ability of the servants, and he gives 1 5, 1 2, and another one he gives 1. However, when he gives that, their reactions are not recorded. We don't see that they complain. We're not seeing that they accuse the master of of being unfair. Instead, they gladly accept the talents and they go and do what the master has given them. They go to work. So what we see in putting all this together is that Jesus is looking at his servants, looking at us, the church, and saying, while I'm gone, I have entrusted you with talents. I have given you talents to use for the kingdom. You see, Jesus here is not teaching economic theory. All right, this parable is not about money. This parable is about Jesus having entrusted his church, entrusted us with responsibilities to use in the light of our abilities and opportunities. So he says, here, I want you to go out with the talents that I give you and work for me and work for my kingdom while you wait for our return. We see this really clearly in 1 Corinthians 12. When we read this passage and we see about spiritual gifts. Begin in verse 4, just reading a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is in the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Now listen, who apportions to each one individually as he will. See, it's the same thing we just read in the parable of the talents. Jesus gives us talents, gives us responsibilities to use as he wills, as he deems fit. Now, he wants us to take them and use them, right? He doesn't just give us talents so that we can have them. He gives them to us as an investment. Do you understand that? When he gives you those talents, he is actually investing in you. Now, when somebody invests in you, what do they expect? They expect a return on their investment. You do not invest in the stock money to A, lose money, or to B, keep it stagnant. You invest in the stock market so that as you invest, you get a return on your investment. Otherwise, it's a poor investment. Jesus invests in you, and he expects you then to use the talents, which brings us to our next point. Jesus expects you to use your talents. He entrusts you with talents, and now he expects you to use them. When you read this parable, one of the fascinating aspects of it is the master does not tell them what to do with the talents. Did you pick that up? He just gives them five talents. It says he calls them to him and he gives them talents. Then he went away. Here, have five talents. Have five lifetime of wages. And then he just leaves. You know what he's doing? He's investing in them, but at the same time, he is allowing them to use the talent according to their abilities to grow his estate. You see, the master in the parable could not account for every situation that would occur while he is gone, right? I mean, You just can't do that. There's so many variables. It could go this way or that way. You can't say, well, if this happens, do this. You would have a diagram that would be illegible, right? But the master gives them the talents, and the servants know that they are expected to use them. And the master, in his generosity and grandness, has not limited them or constrain them to use them only in a certain circumstance. He says, use the talents. Right? We read 1 Corinthians 12, the gift, the spiritual gifts, and it's just like, use them. How? According to your abilities that God has entrusted you. Use them. He expects us to use them. And as we read through the parable again, the master is going to come back, and the servants know that when the master comes back, that there's going to be an accounting of the talents. the servants know that when the master returns, one of the first things he's going to do when he gets back to the estate is go, okay, I gave you 5 talents. What'd you do with them? I gave you 2 talents. What'd you do with them? I gave you 1. What did you do with the talents? How did you use them for my estate? And so 2 of the servants, when they come back, and we see this, they immediately go forward to the master, and the one with 5 makes 5 more, and the one with 2 makes 2 more, 100% increase on the talents. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, right? I mean, that is incredible. But then we're drawing our attention to the third servant who comes back and returns just 1 talent. He didn't take the money and invest it or use it. He hid it in the ground, and his whole time is he just wants to return to the master the 1 talent that he had to begin with. Now watch the interaction between the 3 servants and the master. The master returns, and the first servant comes, and he comes up in verse 20, and he says, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. Man, when you read that, can you hear the excitement in the servant's voice? Hey, you gave me 5. Look at what I did for you while you were gone. I made you 5 more. Here, have 10. The master looks at the servant, and the master is excited. And so we think, okay, what about the one with 2 talents? And the same thing, the excitement in his voice. He comes running up to the master and goes, hey, look, you gave me 2, and I've got you 2 more. Man, they're so excited to present back to the master the increase on the talents. They are excited to show the master that while he was gone, they were faithful and they worked and they used the talents that the master entrusted them in. And we'll get to the third in just a moment. But notice then when the master responds, he says, well done, good and faithful. He's excited that they did this. And in the interaction with the first two, with the master and the servant, what you see is not an interaction of just an employee and an employer, where a relationship only exists in the context to make money for the master. What you see in that is that there is a warmness, there is an intimacy between the master and his servants. The servant is happy to see the master. The master is happy to see a servant. The servant is happy to present his talents and say, I've been working for you while you're gone. And the master is happy to hear that. The first 2 servants loved their master and desired to please him. That's what they wanted to do. And by the same token, the master loves his servants and are thankful for what they have done. For it pleased them. It pleased him. Look at what he says. He says the same thing to both servants. And that's important to notice, and we'll get to that again in a minute. But he says to the first servant in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Then he says to the second servant, he says the same things down in verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, one of the things that it draws our attention, and we need to understand, is that the size of their gain isn't as important as the fact they were able to deliver more to the master. Right? If it was just about the size of the gain, then the master would have chided the second servant for not presenting him with more. The master is excited and happy and joyful that when he entrusted the talents to his servants, that the servants used the talents, that they were faithful in using them. All right? So now we come to the last servant. Because even though we read this parable and we see the 2 servants who are joyous and everything, it keeps drawing our attention back to the third, because the third keeps doing something a little bit different than the other 2. The third servant's the oddball. First 2 servants use the money. The third servant buries the money in the ground. The first 2 servants run to the master, here, we're so happy we worked for you. And then the third servant comes up to him instead of saying, hey, I'm so excited you're back. Instead, look at what he says in verse 24. I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. Man, this third servant, he wasn't happy to see the master. He's afraid of him. Look at what he says. He says, you're a hard man. Have we seen that in the parable? So far, we've seen the largeness and the generosity of the master in the parable. And he looks at the master and says, here, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. Verse 25 is interesting because it's almost like he's throwing it back in his face. He says, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. Right? I mean, you can almost see that. Here, this is yours. And he's taking the talent and just throwing it at the master. I never won it anyway. You gave it to me. I didn't ask for it. And in his response, when he accuses his master, he's actually trying to excuse his unfaithfulness. And that's why the master looks at him and says, you wicked and slothful servant. He's condemning him for his unfaithfulness. This servant does not like his master. He doesn't want to do anything for his master. He did not understand that anyone that the master giving him a talent, he needs to use that. And he refused to use what the master had given him. Now, we clearly see in this parable what is happening. We clearly understand that the master is God, and God has given us talents to use, and he expects us to use them, as he says here, according to our abilities. Now, this is really important, and I think to some extent, this is going to be a little freeing to some of you as well. All right? And here it is. You listening? God does not expect an uniform level of competence from every believer. All right? God does not expect a uniform competence from every believer. What he expects is for you to be a faithful steward of what he has given you. Remember, again, 1 Corinthians 12, talking about those spiritual gifts. And he gives as he sees fit. What he desires then, it's for you to be faithful with what he has given you. Now, I'm going to use myself as an illustration. Hopefully you'll get the point and see what I'm talking about. God expects me, with the responsibilities he has given me, to be faithful in the use of those responsibilities. God does not expect me to return to him a level of increase greater than what he has given me or in comparison to somebody whom he has given more. Okay? So here we go. One day in the future, I'm standing before God and Billy Graham is standing beside me. And God looks at me and he looks at Billy. And Billy looks back at God and goes, God, you know, I know you're going for a long way, but here, I am presenting you with millions and millions of people that I preached the gospel to and who responded to you. Here are millions who are in heaven because of the preaching and the responsibility that you have given me. And over here to the left is Billy, is Gary going, hi, God. Here's my couple hundreds. Now, you can see why that would be intimidating. Here's Billy Graham, the most listened to preacher in the history of the world, and Gary. You would expect, if this was a normal employee-employer relationship, so let's take Gary and Billy out of the context of heaven and put them in the CEO's office of a Fortune 500, and Billy goes, here, I've earned you hundreds of millions of dollars, and Gary's over here going, I've earned you hundreds of dollars. Who is the CEO going to be more pleased with? Well, it's a no-brainer. the person who's made him hundreds of millions. Gary is probably going to be relegated to the basement. However, when we stand before Christ, He is not going to judge me and my faithfulness according to the responsibilities that He gave to Billy Graham. He is going to judge me according to the faithfulness of me using what He gave me and entrusted me to use. Do you see the point that I'm trying to make? Had the servant who had one talent came back and said, "Hey, I made two," the master would have responded the same. He would have looked at that servant and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little." You see, that's what we need to understand here. God is trying to is teaching us to use your talents. But we have to be careful in the use of our talents to understand that we're not comparing our use with somebody else's. Somebody else may be given more. Somebody else may be given less. You're going to always look worse to somebody else and better than someone else as well. So we can't play the comparison game. What we have to do and what we have to ask ourselves is this question: am I being faithful with what God has given me? Or am I being lazy with what God has given me? That's the question. God has given you talents. He has given you responsibilities. Are you being faithful to use those, or are you being lazy in your use? For that drives us to our third point this morning. And I think I've got it in the bulletin as Jesus rewards the faithful use of your talents. And I want to reword that just a little bit this morning to this: Jesus judges the use of your talents. Okay, because I think that fits the parable a little bit better. He judges all three servants in the parable. It's not just the two faithful servants, it's the third one as well. See, the two faithful ones come to Him and say, "Hey, we presented, here's what we grew, here's what we worked for, here's what we did while you were gone." And He looks at them and says, "Well done, good and faithful servants." He says, "You have been faithful over a little." Now, just a little side note on this. He's calling five lifetimes of wages a little. Again, speaks to the grandness of the master. That he would look at five lifetimes of wages and say, "Oh, I gave you a little bit of money." Again, we know that the master is God, and it points to the generosity that God pours out into the lives of His believers. We know that the riches of God are indescribably deep. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the master looks at the servants who have been faithful, and he says to the faithful servants, again, look down in verse 21. "I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The master commends them for their faithfulness. And he says, "Enter into the joy of your master. The master is joyful with you. Enter into me and experience everything that I own and that I have as your master." And when we read that, we can't escape the echo of heaven and the response of the master. Right? Because we know then that when we stand before the Lord and we have done what the Lord is called us to do, and we've been faithful, He's going to look at us and say, "Enter into the presence of the Lord." The reward for being faithful, as we see in the parable, is the joy in the presence of the master. The reward for being faithful as a believer in Christ and enduring to the end is enter into the joy in the presence of the Lord. And we will get to experience all His riches that He has. Now, I do want to state this carefully. They're not being rewarded for their work. They didn't work their way into the joy in the presence of the Lord of their master. Just like we cannot work our way into the joy and the presence of the Lord. The master and the Lord, as we understand the master to be, is going to reward us for their faithfulness. For our faithfulness, and we saw this last week with our confession, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but then our faithfulness to endure all the way to the end, even though the return is unexpected and later than we anticipated. Right? That's why it says, well done, good and faithful servant. Never once does he commend them for their work. He even says, you've been faithful over a little. Our attention is drawn to the faithfulness of the servants all the way to the end. But then we have another servant, that last one, the one that just keeps standing out. And instead of welcoming him into the joy, look at what he says. He says, take the talent in verse 28, but then in verse 29, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The master cast the servant out, where he will no longer be in the presence of the master, will not enjoy the joy of the master. And at first when we read that, we go, wait a minute, that seems kind of harsh. We miss the fact that the servant is not a true servant. His refusal to use what the master entrusted him with demonstrates that the servant does not love or desire to serve his master. He has no interest in seeing his master's kingdom grow. He was afraid of his master and just wanted his master to leave him alone. He refused to use what his master gave him. And the result is unfaithfulness toward the master. Because the servant was never really his. What we have a picture here is someone who, again, the best way I can put it is pretends to be a Christian. Does everything from the outside that looks like they're a Christian. They have a Bible. They listen to Christian radio. They tune in every now and then to listen to somebody preach. It looks like it. But they're not using the responsibilities, the talents that the Lord has given them. And what they're doing is, by their refusal to use those talents, is demonstrating to God and to us as well that they're not His. Anybody who belongs to Christ, anybody who says they are a believer in Christ, should be producing fruit in their life. There should be something that we can see. I know a lot of people say, well, you can never tell somebody's soul. You can never, and that is true. I will not disagree with that. However, we can look at their lives and see if they're producing fruit, see if they're working for the master, and see if their faithfulness to their profession validates the profession that they claim. We know that. It's just a hard truth I think we don't like to think about. And when we read this parable, what we see is a servant who is not faithful to the profession that he made, to love, to serve, and obey his master. And in the context of God and his kingdom, what we see is somebody who fails to love, obey, and serve the master that they claim is theirs. How can Jesus really be your Lord if you don't obey and do what he calls you to do? See, when we read this parable, while Jesus is talking about his return, he confronts us with really looking at us to see, looking at ourselves and say, are we ready for his return? Are we ready? And one of the ways that we demonstrate that we are ready is that we are using the talents he has entrusted us to use. We're using the responsibilities. The flip side of that is, if we're not using the talents, if we're not using his talents, then it's a sign that we're not ready. And not only that, it may be a sign that you're not even his to begin with. That the reason you're not using them, it's because you don't belong to him. However, as we started this message, we said that Jesus tells parables to teach a spiritual truth. He tells parables so that people will hear and respond. And the parable this morning gives you a chance to respond, especially if you are not His. If you're not His, you're not prepared for His return. So you've heard the parable, you've heard what He has said, and Jesus is calling you then to fix that, to correct that, where you can repent from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross, so that you can be saved, and so now you can work for Him and demonstrate that you are ready to see Him return by faithfully using the talents He has entrusted to you to use while He's gone. Jesus also, I think, this in telling this parable, he's talking to His disciples. So there's a response this morning for the church, for the believer as well. And it's just this. Are you being faithful in the use of your talents? God's given you a responsibility in His kingdom. He's invested in you. Are you being faithful and using His investment to grow His kingdom? This morning, answer those two questions. And as we pray this morning and sing, you'll have a chance to respond wherever you are to God who will lead and prompt you through the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.